Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David Mitchell of the 12th Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation out of the 12th town of Libertyville, Texas. Today is October 9, 2017, or it's Tishri 20, 2021. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, He Hideth My Soul. Our wonderful Savior is Yahshua, my King. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. A wonderful Savior is Yahshua, my King. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength as my day. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. With numberless blessings each moment he crowned, and filled with his fullest divine. I sing in my rapture, O glory to Yah, for such a Redeemer as mine. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of Jehovah's land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. When clothed in his brightness, transported I rise to meet him in the clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation, his wonderful love, I shout with the millions on high. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, that shadows a dry, thirsty land. He hideth my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand.
Raised Up is going to be the name of our sermon today. We're going to turn to Exodus chapter 9. We're going to start our sermon with Exodus chapter 9. And see what we have here. It says, and then the Yahweh said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh and tell him, thus saith the Yahweh, Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. Okay, it says, let my people go that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go and wilt hold them still, behold, the hand of Yahweh is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, and the Yahweh shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children of Israel. And the Yahweh appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Yahweh shall do this thing in the land. And the Yahweh did that thing on the morrow. And all the cattle of Egypt died, but of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. And Yahweh said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with banes or blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. They took ashes of the furnace and stood before the Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boil, for the boil was upon the magicians. Okay, so here's magicians claiming to have miracle working power, and upon all the Egyptians. And the Yahweh hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Yahweh had spoken unto Moses. And Yahweh said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith Yahweh Elohim of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Okay, it's the second time now Yahweh has told Moses to tell Pharaoh, let my people go so they can serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Did you get that? And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up. He's talking to Moses here. For to show in thee my power. Now he's raised me up out of the ashes. He raised me up. And he said, for one purpose, to show his power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. And yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go. So, behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof, even until now. So Moses is giving Pharaoh a 24-hour notice. He said, tomorrow now, about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail. Verse 19, Exodus chapter 9. Send therefore now and gather thy cattle and all that thou hast in the field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field and shall not be brought home, the hail shall come down upon them and they shall die. He that feared the word of the Yahweh among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Yahweh left his servants and his cattle in the field. And the Yahweh said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be a hail in all the land of Egypt upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Yahweh sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along upon the ground, and the Yahweh rained hail upon the land of Egypt, and there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Wow, that was quite a hail storm, breaking every tree down. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent and called for Moses and Aaron and said unto them, I have sinned this time. Yahweh is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Yahweh, for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings and hail, and I will let you go, and ye shall stay no longer. Moses said unto him, as soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hand unto the Yahweh, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hail, that thou mayest know how that the earth is the Yahweh's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Yahweh Elohim. And the flax and the barley were smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hand unto the Yahweh. And the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as Yahweh has spoken by the Moses. Okay, what are we learning here? We're learning that Yahweh raises up his servant, and he empowers him then to be the voice for him, and whatever that servant speaks, that Yahweh gives him to speak, Yahweh is there to cause to happen and perform that which he has spoken. So now we're going to go to Joshua chapter 5. And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan, westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Yahweh had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their hearts melted. Neither was there a spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. Is this going to happen again? Yes, it's already happening, but until he brings forth the house of David, you're just going to be looking at it for the future. At that time, the Yahweh said unto Joshua, make these sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskin. And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. All the people that came out of Egypt that were male, even all of the men of war, died in the wilderness by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now all the people that came out were circumcised. But all the people that were born in the wilderness by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Yahweh, unto whom the Yahweh sware that he would not show them the land, which the Yahweh sware unto their fathers, that he would give us a land that floweth with milk and honey. Let us continue now with Joshua chapter 5, verse 7. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised, because they had not circumcised them by the way. And it came to pass, when they had done circumcising all the people, that they abode in their place in the camp till they were whole. And the Yahweh said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Now let's read that verse 9 again. And the Yahweh said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. I have a little information for you here. When I was down in Kermit, Yahweh showed me where Brutus Johnson had the title of Joshua the son of Nun. That there are two Joshuas. There's a Joshua the son of Josedek in Zechariah 3. And there's one that I'm reading about right now. There's Joshua the son of Nun. And here in Joshua chapter 5. Brother Johnson had the antitypical role of that Joshua, son of Nun. Joshua, the son of Nun, was born down in Egypt. Anyway, Joshua, no doubt, and Caleb, the two faithful among those 12 spies, they were two of the 12 spies that went to spy out the land, come back with a good report. So Yahweh says, well, I can use you two to go through this 40 years of wilderness wandering. I can use you two in the land of Israel whenever the 40 years is up. Brother Johnson, being antitypical Joshua the son of Nun, he raised up the sanctuary, tabernacle that had been fallen down of David for many, many years. He raised up the tabernacle in 1970, completely restored it, and then after about 28 years, Brother Johnson wrote a tract, and he identified himself as Joshua, the son of Josedek. He said, well, Joshua, son of Nun's time period is over with, in other words, and he said, I'm now assuming this Joshua, the son of Josedek. So he went to Zechariah chapter 3 and he preached on that. He said, I'm this brand plucked out of burning. I'm this here with this one with the filthy garments on. I'm all of this. But I get my filthy garments changed. No, that didn't turn out that way, because Brother Johnson was not this Joshua, the son of Josedek. That was the position that I was holding at that time. So when the time was up, after 32 years in 2002, Royce Johnson wrote this tract about 1998, somewhere, about him being Joshua the son of Joseph. And he says, now, and so when it got to 2002, about 4 years later, Yahweh identified me as his antiquity Elijah David. Lo and behold, V.T. Hollis says this Joshua, the son of Josedek, is the same as this Elijah, and is the same as this servant David, this Joshua, the son of David. He's a priest, he's a minister, according to Joel 2:15. He's a minister of the temple. And so, here we have two Joshuas facing off there in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. We have two Joshuas. I didn't know that V.T. Holliff had written about this Joshua, the son of Joseph day, Zechariah 3, being the same as this as this antitypical David, and the same as antitypical Jezreel, the generic or the master prophet. So anyway, when Yahweh called my wife and I and Alan along out of the midst of that Gilead Center, he says, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Now, I thought it was awful mysterious. It was quite mysterious how there, when I was at the age of 48 years old, that Brother Johnson had a circumcision for the men that weren't circumcised. And since we owned a clinic and we had a doctor that had a license to do it, to do this, knew how to do it, that was a member of our church, and we had a registered nurse there also if we needed her to have the authority to do this medically. And so we owned our own clinic, and so we had everything. And Brother Sean said, well, we're going to all be, and there's four people that were candidates to be circumcised, and I was one of them. As soon as I was circumcised, I went to my bed to spend 3 days to recover, and lo and behold, I was healed within 1 hour. I got up out of my bed and went back to work. So that was a sign to me that I had been set aside to succeed Rollis Johnson, but I didn't know that at the time, as is antitypical Joshua, the son of Joseph. But there we have it right here in Joshua chapter 5, why though they had to be circumcised coming out of Egypt, those 40 years that they didn't circumcise in the wilderness, because it says, and Yahweh said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. Verse 10, Joshua chapter 5. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes. After the Passover that night, they had that night, which was the same thing as the unleavened bread day, which was a holy day, which is when they took the Passover, and parched corn on the selfsame day, and the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Now they had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by the Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of Yahweh am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face into the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my master unto his servant? And the captain of Yahweh's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18. Okay, Deuteronomy 18 verse 1, it said, the priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Yahweh made by the fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. Yahweh is their inheritance, as he has said unto them. And this shall be their priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And he shall give unto the priest the shoulder, and the two cheeks, and the maw, and the first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil. And the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give them. For the Yahweh the Elohim hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand his minister in the name of the Yahweh, him and his sons forever. I represent one of the sons of Levi, believe it or not. Because this is a priesthood that's going to rule forever. And Yahweh has placed us in charge of the priesthood. And if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourn and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Yahweh shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Yahweh his Elohim, as all his brethren, the Levites, do, which stand there before the Yahweh. Now, you get that? So they're going to minister in the name of the Yahweh. Brutus Johnson did not minister in the name of the Yahweh. Ben Roden, his predecessor, did not minister in the name of the Yahweh. V.T. Holliff did not minister in the name of the Yahweh. It wasn't because he didn't. He would have if he had inspiration on it. But the point I'm trying to make is that the true minister, that is to raise up the foundations of many generations, would be the one that is convicted and converted to use a sacred name. And so when you find that the time has come when the ministers of Yahweh are using the sacred name again, then that is a full restoration of the sanctuary that has been fully restored unto them. They shall have, verse 8, Deuteronomy 18, they shall have like portions to eat beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. And thou art come into the land which the Yahweh the Elohim giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divinations, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with the familiar spirit, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination of the Yahweh. And because of these abominations, the Yahweh the Elohim doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Yahweh the Elohim. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearken unto the observers of time, and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Yahweh the Elohim hath not suffered thee to do so. Yahweh the Elohim will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according unto all that thou desirest of the Yahweh the Elohim in Hor, in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Yahweh the Elohim, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. Yahweh said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. So, Brother Johnson continued to use that word God, Lord, and Jesus. Well, he was speaking in the name of other gods. He was speaking the titles of the gods of Baal. He continued, even after it was given to him the sacred name 32 years earlier, and he restored it and swore by it and published it. Then he went back to his old hog water of using those titles that belong to Baal. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which Yahweh hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of Yahweh, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So, there were false prophets back then that believed that they were true prophets. They didn't really believe they were false prophets. But because they haven't followed the complete guideline, showing how to prove that they're true prophets, they got detoured on a sidetrack, and they went on. They sent themselves. They appointed themselves to that office. Many of them, thousands of them, have done that today. But Yahweh raises up, and we're going to continue now to read this. We're dealing with the word raise now, R-A-I-S-E. It occurs 59 times in 58 verses in the KJV. Now, it says that in Psalms 41, that thou, O Yahweh, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. This is David talking now in Psalms 41:10. In Isaiah 15:5, it says, my heart shall cry out for Moab, his fugitive shall flee unto Zoar, and Hepher of 3 years old, for by the mounting up of the Luhit with weeping shall they go it up. For in the way of the Horonim they shall raise up a cry of destruction. Let's go on to Isaiah now 29:3. And I will camp against thee round about, and will lay siege against thee with a mount, and will raise forts against thee. Isaiah 44:26. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers, as saith unto Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and unto the cities of Judah you shall be built. And I will raise up the decayed places thereof. Isaiah 49:6. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob, and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light unto the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Now all these scriptures I'm reading to you, from the Old Testament, and there's in the New Testament too, with this word raised, it's talking about this servant today, this house of David. All of this is dovetailing into this house of David that he's going to raise all this up to. Isaiah 58:12, and they shall be of thee, and they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many a generation. And thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Like I said, when you read all of this, these scriptures, is talking, and he's talking directly to the house of David here. So, Jeff White, bring this to the people's attention that you are ministering to, because you are definitely an extension of this house of David there in Africa. And he's raised you up for this, for the purpose that you're fulfilling. And things are going to get better here for us here in Texas, financially as well. We're looking at it. We're going to have the money to be able to expand when we need to. Isaiah 61:4, and they shall build the old ways, and they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Jeremiah 23:5. Behold, the days come, saith Yahweh, that I will raise unto the David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Jeremiah 30:9. But they shall serve the Yahweh their Elohim, and or Yeshua their Savior, and Yahweh their Elohim as well, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Now remember, when we read about Yahweh Elohim, he also put his name in his son. So we're talking about the other as well, father and son, and then his servant David. Jeremiah 50:9. For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of the great nation from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their errors shall be as a mighty expert man, and none shall return in vain. So what's he saying here now? For lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of the great nations from the north. Well, where are these great nations from the north? Can we identify them today? Yeah, well, I'm going to tell you something. Alaska is a state of the United States, and it's in the far extreme north, for one thing, in the Western Hemisphere. And it's a nation all of its own. That's one of them. And then the nations in the Netherlands over there in the east, Middle East, or the north, and their errors shall be as of a mighty expert man, and none shall return in vain. Jeremiah 50:32, and the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. Jeremiah 51:1. Thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will raise up against Babylon, and against them that dwell in the midst of them that raise up against me a destroying wind. Ezekiel 23:22. Therefore, O Holabah, thus saith Yahweh Elohim, behold, I will raise up thy lovers against thee, from whom thy mind is alienated, and I will bring them against thee on every side. Ezekiel 34:29. And I will raise up for them a plant of renown. They shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Hosea 6:2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Joel 3:7. Behold, I will raise them out of the place where they have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. Amos 5:2. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. Well, that's what happened right there at Kermit, Texas. It brought a close to the Adventist, three steps of the Adventist movement came to a close in 2002 at Kermit. He says, the virgin of Israel is fallen. Well, Gilead Center had the distinction of being the virgin of Israel, because she had restored all the sanctuary and all this divine institution. So she had the distinction of being identified as the Virgin of Israel. Amos 6:14. But behold, I will raise up against you a nation, O house of Israel. What's that nation? That nation that David ruled over, saith the Yahweh of hosts. And they shall afflict you from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of the wilderness. Amos 9:11. And that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. But that house of David, it was raised up in 1970 by Brother Johnson. But the thing is, it fell down. The one that Brother Johnson raised up fell down. Because he wasn't the true antitypical David. He was not the true antitypical Joshua, the son of Josedek. He was not the true antitypical Jezreel, the master prophet. He was none of that. So therefore, but he was given the privilege as the firstborn, with a distinction as Esau. He was given the privilege to raise up the tabernacle of David, even though he wasn't, Brother Johnson was not of the tribe of Judah. Judah is the lawgiver. Judah is the one where Yahshua comes and sits upon the throne of David of the tribe of Judah. Brother Johnson was given the privilege even though he was not of the tribe of Judah. But the tabernacle fell down. Micah 5:5. And this man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in our palaces. Then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. Habakkuk 1:3. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to be a whole grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and they are that raise up strife and contention. Okay, so that's what happened down in Kermit. There were those there that raised up strife and contention continually. And the ringleader was the wife of the prophet. Habakkuk 1:6. For lo, I'll raise up the Chaldean, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land, to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Habakkuk 11:16. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young ones, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat, and tear their claws in pieces. So read that in Zechariah 11:16 again. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land, which shall not visit those that be cut off, neither shall seek the young one, nor heal that is broken, nor feed it that standeth still, but he shall eat the flesh of the fat and tear their claws in pieces. So, this is what happened down in Kermit. For lo, I will raise up a shepherd in the land. David was a shepherd. Esau was not a shepherd, but he was the firstborn. Jacob was a shepherd, the secondborn, born of the Spirit. Matthew 3:9. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you, that Yahweh is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And when he had, this is in Matthew chapter 10 now, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now these are the names of the 12 apostles. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. For the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So you had a publican, you had a Canaanite. They're from all over. Luke was a Gentile. These 12 Yahshua sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. But go rather unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, well, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." And this is our calling, and this is the job that we're called to do. We're called to be able to do this. It duplicates exactly what the disciples had the power to do. And that is even raise the dead, folks. We got something pretty awesome here. "Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purse, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat." Verse 11, Matthew 10. "And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence." Now, we've been given notice that this is our, we're at the end of our living here at this address here in Liberty Hill. And we got a few months to get the place cleaned up and get our stuff together so we can become mobile. We just got a few months. So we're going to have to become mobile. And because we are entering into the antitype, what I'm just reading to you here, we're going to be going from city, town, my wife and I. We're looking at divine healing, 100%. We're looking at it all, and where we'll be made whole. This next Passover, anticipate the next Pentecost in 2018, anticipate that very strongly. It could very well be the time has arrived for this Pentecostal power to fall upon the purified house of David. Alright? "And when you come into an house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return unto you. And whosoever shall not receive you and nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah and the day of the judgment than for that city. Behold, I send ye forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up unto the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues." For it says, beware of them. And I've been visiting these synagogues. I've been visited quite a few here in the last 3 years. And let me tell you what, they're nice and friendly at first, but they very soon become very unfriendly. So no matter what talents you have or what you can contribute to their cause, they don't want it. They don't want anything you have to offer. All right, let's go ahead. "And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles." Uh-oh, them and the Gentiles? That's the synagogues I've been going to. I've gone to the Adventist synagogues for many, many years, off and on. This talks about the synagogues of the Gentiles. "And when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For it is not yet For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall raise up against their parent, and cause them to be put to death, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth unto the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee you unto another. For verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel, till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of this household? Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in the darkness, that speak ye in the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach you upon the housetop. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? That the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Cross reference that is Luke 12:51. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. Luke 12:53. Now, I'm wondering why they didn't also include Micah 7 the man's foe shall be of his own household. That's a prophecy right there in Micah 7. I just flipped right straight to it. One flip. It says, Micah 7:5. Trust you not in a friend, put you not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man of enemies are the men of his own house. Okay, there it is right there. Matthew 10:36, Luke 12:53, and Micah 7:6. And it goes on in Micah 7:7, it says, therefore I will look unto the Yahweh. I will wait for the Yahweh of my salvation. My Elohim will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, the Yahweh shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Yahweh because I have sinned against him, until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. Well, this is true. This took place down yonder in Kermit at 2002. It's going to Texas, starting at the Passover. Because I bore the indignation. Because I sinned right along with Rollis Johnson and the whole tribe down at Kermit for 32 years. We practiced idolatry right with them. So we didn't know no better. Rollis Johnson knew better. But he apostatized and backslid, and so therefore, we had no way of knowing any better. Yahweh had to personally come and show us, my wife and I, what constituted idolatry, what constituted sinning against him. And number one sinning against him was having a birthday celebration before the sun went down on the Day of Atonement, the last one that we had in Kermit, Texas. No, 2001, at that atonement. My wife and I, we didn't even go over there for the celebration. And Dora, we had a report back after that from one of the members. Why do we feel under judgment to the drunkards over these birthdays? Well, because Yahweh put them under judgment, that's why. And so that's why this verse, Micah 7:9, I will bear the indignation of the Yahweh, because I have sinned against them. Until he pleads my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. And that is a repeat, same prophecy as taken from Psalm 37:6. And we'll hurriedly go and read that. I flip that to that one. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. That's in Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Yahweh and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Now that's Psalm 37, 8. So then verse 9, Psalm 37. For evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. And my wife and I have patiently waited for Yahweh. We joined Brother Johnson in 1970 at Gilead Center, and we have patiently endured and waited for him. And so we're closing out 47 years of this patiently waiting. Matthew 10:37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, really I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. This brings the close of our study. This hour, contact us at the 11th hour call. It's number 11. Click on our audio archives. Hear this message and more. Let us close now with a song. Rock of Ages. Rock of Ages. Not from me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from the wounded side restored, you'll send a double cure. Take from wrath and make me pure. Let my tears forever flow. Let my zeal no longer know. Peace for sin could not atone. I'm a saint and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring. Simply through that cross I cling. I draw this living breath. And my eyes and death, but all thrives to worlds unknown, and behold thee on my throne, Rock of Ages, lift for me, let me hide myself in thee.